The Mishnah says, talking about Shoshana and in the Sukkah, that Min HaTorah, the Mitzvah Lulav, is only Noyig on the first day of Sukkah all over the world, and it's only Noyig in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. Because Pasuk says in the Chumash, "Lakatzim lachem b'yom arishin," creates order, etc. "Ismachtem lachnei Hashem lakech m'shivas yomim." And the Sifro understands "Ismachtem lachnei Hashem lakech m'shivas yomim" means "Bameh." How do you do the "Ismachtem"? You do it with Netilas Lulav. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis has a famous comment that he writes that Lulav nital b'Migdash kol shiva. Migdash includes all of the old city. It doesn't only apply to inside the Beis HaMikdash. It even applies for the whole Ira Atika. Ismachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem. Whenever it says lefnei Hashem, we're not sure exactly what it refers to. Sometimes it refers to the Azor, sometimes it refers to the Har Bais, sometimes it refers to the whole Yerushalayim. Sometimes it refers to all over the world. It says it's shachetes hapor lefnei Hashem. So the shechita of karbonos has to be in the Azor. It can't shecht in the Har Bais. You have a pasuk in Tehillim that says the chatzoitzus will call shofar hariyo lefnei hamelach Hashem. The Gemara says that was only in the Beis HaMikdash, that on Rosh Hashanah and on the Tainus Tzibur, on Rosh Hashanah the mitzvah is to blow shofar all over the world, and on Tainus Tzibur the mitzvah is to blow chatzoitzus all over the world. So if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so both on Rosh Hashanah and on Tainus Tzibur, you have to blow shofar and chatzoitzus simultaneously. You blow both together. The Gemara says that's only a din in Mikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash doesn't apply. And the Gemara says they used to do it in the Har Bais. So you see the fairies that Har Bais also called Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. The Chatzoitz is the Kol Shofar Hariyo Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. The Har Bais is called Lefnei Hashem. Then it says, V'chalto Shem Lefnei Hashem Lekech HaMaisa Digonecha B'sirosha V'tzarecha V'choriz B'korcha B'tzaynecha, etc. So that refers to the whole city, the whole Yir Atika. We were just talking the other day about Vidui Maisa. That Vidui Maisa says, V'amarta Lefnei Hashem Lekecha the Yarti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. So it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether that reciting of the Parsha Vidui Maisa has to take place dafke in the Beis HaMikdash, it can take place anywhere in the world. Gamarta Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, you declare the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? Usually Lefnei Hashem Lekecha either means the Azor or the Har Bais, Yerushalayim. And here it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, but very strange, there are no earlier sources on that. Where did the farmers recite the Vidui Maisa? Mikra Bikurim says, they say Mikra Bikurim in the Azor when they bring the Bikurim. But Vidui Maisa doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. That's Machlek, is the Rambam and the Rabbis. Here the Rambam has this Chiddush, and the Pirush HaMishnah says, it's not his Chiddush, he's quoting it from the Yerushalmi. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not mention it. Mishnah Torah just says, Bamigdash Kol Shiva, Lulav Nita Bamigdash Kol Shiva, probably means the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean the Holy Ratika. But in the Pirush HaMishnayis, he quotes this, he writes its Dhamma, and the source is the Yerushalmi. There's a Sefer of the Kuri Yankiv, that's the first Sefer that was written by Rabbi Yankiv Etlinger, the author of the Archel Aner. That's why he called the Bikuri Yankiv. So he writes a Chiddush, he puts two and two together. So he says that maybe since the Rambam's opinion is that Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kitchalosi Lavoi, Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitchalosi Lavoi, so maybe there should be a mitzvah in our Torah today to shake a lulav kol shiva in the Yir Atika. So even if a person davened, let's say, in a Bayit Began, or he davened in his hotel room, wherever he was, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and he goes to the Yir Atika, according to the Rambam, if you put two and two together, the Kitchalos Ilova, and the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav Kol Shiva, according to the Pirush HaMishnayis, applies even in the Holy Yir Atika, then you have to shake a lulav again a second time. But because not everybody agrees, number one, to what the Rambam wrote in Pirush HaMishnayis. Number two, not everybody agrees. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam in Perek Vav and Hilchos Beis Achira. The Rabbi holds that Kedushas HaMikdash is loy kitchelos elavim, but dafke loy kitchelos elavim. So that's why the Bikur Yankov says you shouldn't say bro, because it's a suffix. But he has a chiddush. I remember Rabbi Gerelik used to teach here in the yeshiva, so he said he remembers learning Baravelvel Osalechik in Europe and Brisk before the Second World War. And when they were talking about this, so one of the Talmidim asked Rav Elvala, what would the din be on the first day Sukkot? Let's say the person, he says, there weren't so many religious Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, they were just talking in theory, you know, in abstract. What would be the din if you daven on the first day of Sukkot in your hotel, and then you walk to the old city on the first day. So the first day is a mitzvah and atar all over the world. See, on the first day also there's an added mitzvah in the old city according to the Rambam. So you should shake lulav the second time. What do you say? No, this additional mitzvah is machtam lefnei Hashem alkech m'shivas yamim. Means the remainder of the 7 days. Doesn't refer to the first day. First day you're ready with yotzei v'deraisa. There's no added fear if you walk to the Eir Atikah on the first day. So Rav Avila thought, and he thought for a few moments, and he said he doesn't know. So good shaila, he does know the answer. It's interesting that people, before the Second World War, no one was dreaming about, they were talking about a Medina, but it's so far-fetched. The Chaim Moisen said, when hair will grow on my hand over here, then there's going to be a Medina. And he participated in the discussions that they had in the Aguda. They had the Knesset Agdola and the conventions. There were international conferences. They were talking about whether they should establish a Medina, not establish. He thought that the whole thing was in the Lufthansa. No one thought there would be a Medina. Anyway, so now there is a Medina. It's interesting, Rabbi Yerucham Perlo, who also lived in Europe before the war, wrote a long commentary on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigoyen, raises this same issue, but on the first day, there's an added mitzvah in the old city, or in the Beis HaMikdash, however you understand Lulav Niklav HaMikdash, when it says, Esmachtam Lefnei Hashem Lekach Shivas Yomim, it refers to the remainder of the 7 days, the next 6 days, but on the first day nothing is different. Or should you say no? Even on the first day, there's an added mitzvah to shake the lulav and the iratika. So he claims that this is a machlokes harishayim. He has rishayim in the mefarshim and chumash who interpret the pasuk in two different ways. The smachtam lefnei Hashem alkechem shivas yamim, whether shivas yamim means the remainder of the 7 days, or the full 7 days including the first day. It's a famous machlokes harishayim, Tosfos in the Ramban, where they need shalachem kol shiva in Migdosh. Tosfos's opinion is that whenever Dalad Minim is deraisa, then you need Shalachem. Well, Kachtam Lachem is Shalachem. We don't require Shalachem, the remaining on Chol HaMoed, when we bench Esek, we don't need Shalachem. Because it's only the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, Zechel HaMikdash, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Yitzkan Abdechem and Zakai, Shehei Lulav Nito Kol Shiva. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Abdechem and Zakai was the chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. The first 40 years he was in business and he retired. He became a millionaire and he retired at the age of 40. Then he sat and he learned. It's not a smart idea. He made $1 million at the age of 40. Then he retired and he learned from the age of 40 to 80. Who says he's going to make $1 million by 40? And who says he's going to live till 80? Anyway, by him it worked out. So he sat and he learned from 40 to 80. And then he was appointed chief rabbi at the age of 80. Like a blazer shach. He became recognizes a big manig at the age of 80, over 80, I don't know, very old. And then he's a chief rabbi till the age of 120, the Gemara says. And he made 9 takonis. Under his presidency, he was his best and made 9 takonis. So quite a few of them have to do with Zechel HaMikdash. And Mishnah says this is one of them. He made the takonis, Sheyehei Lulav Nito Kol Shiva Zechel HaMikdash. So Tosfos says, Tosfos shows from the Gemara, since it's only with the Rabbanon Zechel HaMikdash, you don't need all the details, so that's why you don't need Shalachem. But in the Beis HaMikdash proper, when it's really a din d'oraisa that you have to shake a lulav all 7 days, then you need Shalachem. And the Ramban and the Mochamah gives a whole presentation, a whole argument that it's not so. You don't need Shalachem. He says there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah lakachtem, there's a mitzvah smachtem. The mitzvah lakachtem requires Shalachem, lakachtem lachem. That's on the first day yontem. The mitzvah smachtem, kol shiva, you just need the cheftze, should be the dalin mina. But shalachem is not a property in the cheftze. Whether I own it or you own it, it's not that if you own it, it's called ruveini, if I own it, it's called shemaini. There's a relationship between me and the lulav, between you and the lulav. It belongs to me, it belongs to me, it's not a difference in cheftze. Chodor is in cheftze. Chodor means, and the way the Ramban writes, chodor is in cheftze because it's called in Chumash, the word esrog. He writes, the word esrog is from the Aramaic word which means hodah. So by definition, an esrog means hodah. He quotes the Targum Onkelos, writes on the Pasuk and Parashas Bereishis. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu created all the trees in Gan Eden. So it says, Nechmod Lamara, they were all good-looking trees, they were all very, looked very tasty. So the Targum Onkelos writes, the Merageg Lamechazi. The Meragig means Nechmod. So a creates Hador, by definition, that's the, he wants to, according to Rabban, it could be that there's a difference between Hador and Esrig as opposed to Hador and Lulav. We hold that Hador passes and Lulav also, and all the Dalamis.
Gemara has a machlekes hatanayim whether yavish lulav yavish is possible or not. He say hader only apply machlekes avyud and rabbanon. Does hader only apply to esrim? Does it even carry over to the other dalamim? So we pass, and it does carry over. The Ramban epis, the way he presents it, sounds as if hader on the lulav and the hadasim and the aravis, that's like shalachem. That's not a din echetzer. That's a din. You're only out in the mitzvah if it's hader. So that would only apply on the first day on it. Kol shiva, even a midrash, when is there ice, he wouldn't need hader. That's what he sounds like, he says. But he says hader and esrog, that's the definition of the word esrog. It's a creates hader. So if it's not hader, you have the wrong chepzer. And the din is a smacht, melefnei shem alkech, mishivat yomim, bamev. How do you do the simcha? You have to use these minim. You have to use the dala minim. You have an esrog, that's not hader. That's not called, that's not the right chepzer. That's not the way it sounds from the Gemara. The Gemara would appear that it's a question what it sounds from the Gemara. Whether Hadar passes Kol Shiva min HaTorah when Lulav is deraisa. Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that it does pass Kol Shiva, not only in Esrog, even in Hadar. So it's the Ramban, where he quoted this Targumul Kolis on Parshas Bereishis, that was really out of place. He shouldn't have quoted that. That argument focuses in specifically on Esrog. That in Esrog, if it's not Hadar, it's the wrong chapter. But we seem to assume that even in Lulav in Hadassim and Aravis also, there's going to be Eino Hadar, it's considered the wrong chapter. That's where the Ramban explains also in his commentary on Chumash, on this verb, the Merageg Lamechaze, Reish Gimel Gimel, that when you get married, and it says in the Ksuba that the husband is Meshabin himself to pay his wife, Mikradin, you can get away with paying if in the event that a woman collects a ksuba. So the Mishnah says that ksuba sees is nigvus men aziburis. Then in Zokin, in the Choptal of Abbas and Zikin, the Gemara says they all collect from Eidah. And a Bachov collects from Beninis. And so the Sisha collects from Ziburis. So the minig is that we write into the ksuba that we give the wife the right to collect Eidahs. We write, he's Meshabed the Karka with the Metaltalim, and we write Mikol Shvar Arag Nichsin. This Litkos Kol Shmai. What does that mean, Kol Shvar? Shvar Shapira. Pretty good. Means it is Arag Nichsin. What is Arag? Alok Reish Gimel. Nobody knows what the word means. So the Ramban, his commentary, Achumish, explains the word Arag is an Aramaic word that comes from the word the Merageg. Reish Gimel Gimel. From that verb that the Targum Onkelos wrote on Nechbot, it means Idis. It means Metal. That kind of property that everyone is a very desirous property. Idis, that everyone desires to get. So again, so there's a famous machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban regarding the mitzvah of lulav nitol ba migdosh kol shiva, the mitzvah deraisa, whether you need the shalachem or not. Tosfos shita is that is the mitzvah of the tilas lulav. That whereas all over the world it's only like one day, and Beis Hamikdash is noig for 7 days. So Tosfos says you need shalachem and you need hoder, you need the whole works, you need everything. Only bizman hazeh that lulav chutz la mikdash is only the rabban zeh la mikdash, and then Tosfos says that you don't need shalachem, but you would need hoder. That's the way Tosfos read the Gemara. You would need hoder. Why did they institute hoder? So Tosfos says, well, why not? There's a din of hid the mitzvah all the time lachatzina. So here it makes sense that they instituted hid the mitzvah even b'diavad because a mikdash kol shiva, you needed hoder. Shalachem, why should they bother to institute Shalachem Kol Shiva? It's only a Zechel HaMikdash, it's not the real thing. That's the way Tosfos read the Gemara. The Ramban doesn't agree. It's usually assumed the Rambam agrees with the Ramban over here. But the Rambam never writes that you need Shalachem. Doesn't he write one way or the other, whether you would have needed Shalachem Kol Shiva and Mikdash, when you have Lulav Nitam HaMikdash Kol Shiva. So many assume that the Rambam probably agrees with the Ramban, and the Ramban says that in Lulav Nitam HaMikdash Kol Shiva you didn't really need Shalachem. So that's a shot if you go to the, if you visit the Yir Atika in the middle of Chol HaMoed, so you're going to shake a lulav again without a bracha to be choshish for the chumrah of the Bikuri Yankif. So the shot is that you have to ask that they should give you the lulav for matana manas lahachzir, do you need shalachem? Well, no, but do you need shalachem? It's shayam. So that's the machloik is Tosfos in the Ramban. Afilu naniach, even if you should assume that you're about to possibly fulfill a mitzvah deraisa, Lulav nitam b'migdash kol shiva. Did you need shalachem for the mitzvah lulav nitam b'migdash kol shiva? Ramban says you don't, and Tosfos says you do. So usually they do give you matana manas lahachzir. I have a relative who lives in the old city, so he already sent us an email He's inviting us to come and shake a lulav, and he'll give us shalachem kol shiva. Could he, I'd say that the Bikur Yankis Kumar. Okay. I think they usually do give you shalachem. The Mishnah says that the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are not Miyakim Zezeh, but the Dalam Minishah below the Bam Miyakim Zezeh. That's the Mishnah in the middle of an office. The Mishnah discusses what parts of which mitzvahs are Miyakim. So the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes that since the Dalam Minimah Miyakim Zezeh, that's what leads him to believe that it should only be counted as one mitzvah. Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are not Miyakim Zezeh, that's what leads him to believe that that should be considered two distinct mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam writes. And that's the famous problem that Rav Daniel HaBavli was a dying in Baghdad. He had a correspondence with Rav Ben Avram Ben Rambam, so he raised the issue. But the Rambam passes that Chelus and Lovan are not Miyakim Zezeh, and he passes that he writes that Chelus and Lovan constitute one mitzvah. According to his own guideline, that whenever they're not Miyakim Zezeh, that's a hoichocha, that's a similar dover. That it's really two different mitzvahs, so why didn't the Rambam count Chelus and Lovan as two distinct mitzvahs? So Rabbeinu Avram has a response. That's in the Sefer Maisa Nisan. Now they have it printed in the back of the new editions of the Sefer Mitzvahs LaRambam. There was a Mr. Nisim Asfardi who lived in Paris who paid money to have this manuscript printed in the 1800s. So that's why it's called Maisa Nisan, Mr. Nisim's book. Rabbi Soloveitchik never used to read the introductions to the Svarim. So he said he never understood why it's called Maisa Nisan. He never saw any Nisim in a floor. It's very Lomdish a Sefer. All learning, no Nisim, there's no white skulls. On the first page, they tell you, Mr. Nisim, pay for it. That's all, Mr. Nisim. So there's a whole correspondence, and Rabbi Avram Ben Aramam explains why his father considered Chelus and Lovan one mitzvah, even though they're not the Akhmu Zezeh. But by Dalin Minim, the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. The Dalin Minim, and the Akhmu Zezeh is one mitzvah. The Mishnah has a machloikis Satanai, the Gemara has a machloikis spelled out at length. Whether lulav tzorach eger or not. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudah's opinion, Rabbi Yudah learns that from a pasuk, it's a din deraisa that lulav tzorach eger. Even if you hold lulav tzorach eger, the Gemara is very clear, you don't have to tie together the estro. Eger, aleph gimel dalet, you have to tie together the lulav with the hadasim and the arabs. Even if you follow Rabbi Yudah's opinion, the lulav tzorach eger, you don't tie together the estro with the lulav. One of the Rishonim writes not so, so that Rainim Chachtim, it's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara says Beferish, that even if you hold Lulav Tzarech Eged, you don't tie together the Esther, you only tie together the Hadassim and the Arabis together with the Lulav. And the Gemara says we don't pass like Rav Yudah, we pass in the Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, but the Gemara says, quotes another price, and Daf Yud Aleph, the Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged is only Bid Yevin, Lachatchil Lulav Bid Tzarech Eged. The Gemara says, whose opinion is that? Why should you say Lachatchil Lulav Tzarech Eged? Gemara says, yeah, that's the Chachamim's opinion, that Lachatchila, it's a Hidur mitzvah based on the Pasuk Zekel Ranveyu. If you'll do an Eged, if you'll tie together the Hadassim and Aravis with the Lulav, that's considered the Zekel Ranveyu. The Gemara is clear there around Daflam and the Heyosel, Daflam and Gov, and basically, according to Rav Yudah, the Lulav Tzarech Eged, you require a Kesher Agabi Kesher. You need a Kesher Gomer. Unless you hold aniva by Shabbos, there's a machloek. This happens to be Rav Yudah and Rav Amar. Rav Yudah holds an aniva. If you tie a bow, that's called a kesher gomer. Yachayv on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, according to Gemara says in the last parak in Erevin, according to Rav Yudah, that an aniva is considered a kesher. Built for Shabbos purposes, then an aniva would be considered a kesher, and you get to tefillin. The Gemara says that kesher shall tefillin. Halachah Moshe Mitzinai said, does it have to be a kesher agabi kesher? Or is it even good if you do an aniva? So the Gemara says, if you hold aniva is chayiv on Shabbos, means aniva has a shame kesher. So then it would be a kesher, then it gets to tefillin as well. Then it would be a kesher, then it gets to lulav as well. But since we pass from halacha, I think Rav Yudah is the one who holds an aniva is a kesher gomer. So Rav Yudah l'shitasai would allow you to try the lulav, the hadassim and aravis with an aniva, because according to him, that's a kesher gomer. So we hold not so. We hold that aniva is not a kesher. You need a kesher agabi kesher, shnei kesherim zeh agabi zeh to be considered a kesher for Shabbos purposes. And when you get to tefillin, also the Gemara says you need a kesher agabi kesher. And when you get to lulav also, so we hold that lulav ain't tzarech eged. But lechatchila, Rashi says the rabbanon require lechatchila what the current Rabbi Yudah would be likuga. So we happen not to agree with him that aniva is a kesher. So we require lechatchila a kesher agabi kesher. What's the practice that people wind around the lulav strip and then they tuck it in? That's not a kesher agabi kesher. So the Ramah writes this, the Ramah quotes from the Torah, that if a person forgot to tie up his lulav on Erev Yontif, and he stops on Yontif Yidam Vavata, Kesha Vavi Kesha. So then far from that, he can't fulfill the Hidda Lachatchila. But if you want to do the Lachatchila of lulav Terech Eged, the way to do it properly, Rashi says, and Ramah writes in the Darkei Moshe, along Arichas, the Torah doesn't disagree. The Torah says you wrap around and you tuck it in, that's only if you got stuck. If you forgot to tie it up on Erev Yontif. But if you want to tie an Erev Yontif, you should really tie a Kesha Ravi Kesha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Achrayim. The name of the Sefer is Agura V'Yohalecha. He only quotes it here. So two or three times here. You should know all the exotic form that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. He always quotes the Prima Godim and the Machzah Shek on the Chemet Moshe, the Svarim on the Daf. So that's whatever is on the daf in the Shulchan Aruch is. But once in a while, I quote the Tshuvas Chasam Sefer, Tshuvas Agdura B'Halecha, and or something like that. So that's, he writes in the introduction, these are the Achrayim that he found quoted in the Sefer Pischei Tshuva. There's a skinny little Sefer on Aruch Haim that's called Pischei Tshuva by one of the Vilna Dayanim, Rabbi Yisrael is. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hagdamah that he uses that Sefer for the outside sources. He didn't do the research. Rav Moshe Feinstein has in a certain Shuvah Pella on the Mishnah Berurah why he didn't quote the Chasam Sefer. It's not his fault. It's Pella's on the Pischei Tshuvah why the Pischei Tshuvah didn't quote the Chasam Sefer. Mishnah Berurah writes an introduction. The only outside sources he's going to quote, other than he went through the Gemara with the Mefarshim on the Gemara and then the Torah and the Beis Yosef and on the standard Mefarshim on the Daf. The only outside Tshuvah form that he's going to quote are those that are quoted in the Pischei Tshuvah. And every so often he won't even bother to quote, he'll write, Ayin Pischei Tshuvah. So people think, there is no Pischei Tshuvah in our hand. Well, it must be a mistake. There is a Pischei Tshuvah. There's a little safer, skinny little safer, that's called Pischei Tshuvah. Anyway, so he quotes over here the Agura B'Halecha, who says that the container that we have, that they usually give you when you buy lulav, Hadas Min Arabis, that's woven with lulav strips, that always has a Kesha Gavi Kesha. So even if you're not going to tie anything around it, you already have a kesher or a gabi kesher. That's why there's an issue. How you yotzei with the lechatchila if you use that container almost every time. 98% of the people use that keshikol, the container that's woven from the lulav strip. Some people have the practice not to. What's the issue? The Gemara says on Daf Yud Aleph and Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph and Beis that according to Rav Yudah, who holds lulav tzarech eged, what is the reason for Rav Yudah? Why does Rav Yudah say lulav tzarech eged? So if you would have asked me, and I wouldn't have a Gemara, but one who doesn't know the Gemara, one would have said, the instinctive reaction is that you need a tziruf. The din is that all the dalamina mamiyakim zezeh has to be a tziruf from all of the all four together. So the tziruf is only accomplished if you have them all tied together. True, the esrog is not tied together, but in order for the others to be mitzar from the achad, you need that it should be with eged. So that's the wrong shot. You learn the Gemara consistently, that's the wrong shot. The correct shot is, let's say by Sukkah, there's a din, Chag Sukkah Tassalucha, you need Asiyah Sasukkah. There's even a Machlokes Bishamah Mislul, where they need Asiyah Lishma. So we pass like Basilo, that a Sukkah that's made by a Nochri is kosher. Sukkah is Gamba, we learned is kosher. But you still need Asiyah Lishen Tzel. You need, there's a din of Tassalucha Lamin Asiyah. So the question is, yeah, well that's Sukkah is built by human being. It doesn't grow from the ground like that. What about Esrogim, Hadassim, Arovis, Lulavim? That grows, that's a natural thing. So do you need Asiya and the Lulav? So the answer is, of course not. What you have to say, you need Asiya and the Lulav. So that's Rav Yudah Shita, that Lulav, Tzarech Eged, that constitutes the Asiya and the Lulav. That's the pshat. So not that you need an Eged to then serve everything together. It's clear in the Gemara that the din of Eged, according to Rav Yudah, is that that constitutes the Asiya Sadalim Mini. So that's why the Gemara has a question, is there a psul of Tassav Laman also according to Rav Yudah? The Gemara is not sure. The Gemara raises a possibility. So the Shaila is, but we don't pass like Rav Yudah. We pass like the Rabbanan, that the whole need for the Eged is only Lechatchila Mishum Zaken Maveh. It's not Miyakeh B'di Eved. But Rashi writes around Daf Laman Hei, Laman Vavim Beis Hason Sukkah, that whatever Rav Yudah requires Lechatchila, whatever Rav Yudah requires Lechatchila, we would require Lechatchila. So that's why Rashi says, based on the Gemara, Mekanye Shlomo, that you need a Kesha Gabi Kesha. So should you say, Hua Dinami, that Tasa Velom and Osui is not acceptable with Didan, La Loche, that you want to, that Lula Venu Tzorach Eged, the Kuba Vat, not really needed Eged, so you should insist that you shouldn't have a Tasa Velom and Osui. We always have Tasa Velom and Osui. We always, before you have to be tied up the whole Lulav, And then we take out the lulav and we put away the hadassim and the aravos in the refrigerator to keep them fresh. Then you take it out and it has the whole knot, everything's all tied up together. Then just slip the lulav in. That's what we call tasav lemonos. We slip the lulav in after it's all tied up together. That's tasav lemonos. The point to Rabbi Yehuda who holds, he needed an asiyah, the Gemara says there may be, the Gemara's not sure. The Gemara says it may well be that tasav lemonos, it passels, it's likuva. But the shad is according to the Rabbanon, so the whole legate is not miyakib the ever. But if you have tasav lemonos, and maybe you're not yet to lechatchila. Maybe you're not yet to the din lechatchila. So the simple reading of the Gemara is not so. And the simple reading is that the whole topic of tasav lemonos is only alibe de Rabbanon, is only alibe de Rabbi Yehuda. Alibe de Rabbanon, there's no issue. And that's what the Maharsham writes the Farish. They quote in the big Sefer Orchas Chaim from the Sefinka and Orachaim, there is no Pischei Tshuva. Everybody knows. There is no Pischei Tshuva and Orachaim. You just have this little Sefer. So somebody in the early 1900s, very early 1900s, wrote a Chibur, a Likut of Oli Achreinim, on Orachaim, practically Sif by Sif. And it's called the Sefer Orchas Chaim. Not to be confused with the Rishon Orchas Chaim. So this one is known as the Orchas Chaim Sefinka. This was not that it was printed in Sefinka. It was not printed in Sefinka. And it's not the Sefinka edition of the Orchas Chaim. Someone didn't know. It's a sefer by the rabbi who was a rabbi in Sefinka, Rabbi Kahana. His name was Nachman Kahana. Not to be confused with the one who's a member of the Sanhedrin. Somebody else, he's still alive today. This Rabbi Nachman Kahana died a long time ago. So he has Oris from the Maharsham. He has a likut of all the achronim that he had available to him. All the achronim he had available, he makes a likut on Arachayim. And then the Marsham graced his sefer with Horus. He has Hoysophus there. So he quotes this. The Marsham says that there's no problem. The Tasav Lemon Osli is not a problem at all. Alibi de Rabban. It's only 2 days, Alibi Rabbid. Alibi Rabban is not so. And others hold that it should be a problem even according to the Rabbanon, l'chatchila, if you're going to do it. That's how Rav Soloveitchik thought also. If you're going to do like we all do, you're going to take out the lulav, put it back in, slip it back in, so you're not yotzei l'chatchila. Or if you're going to use this keshikol, if you're going to, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Gur Ba'alecha, that this container that's all geflocht, that's all woven, so that's full of double knots. The whole thing is all full of knots. So that constitutes the egged. So if that's the Yeged, the Yeged was made before the Lulavim even grew. I have such a container from last year. I still have a container. So Mamish, before the Hadassim, before the Arabis grew, it's Mamish Tasav Lemon Osir. So that's a question, whether Tasav Lemon Osir poses a problem Alibe, the Rabbana, and the Rabbuja on the level of Lachatchila. The Pashtus in the Gemara said it does not pose a problem. Okay, so how do we pass Lulav Ein Tzarech Yeged? That you don't need this din, the ikuva, you don't require this din of asiyah. In Europe it was before the Second World War, when people were learning in the yeshivas, there was a practice, they all used to send, the bachim in the yeshivas used to send kashas to the ragachor. Used to get, years ago there used to be a double postcard. You already paid for the postage in advance. Maybe they still have it now, I haven't seen it in many years. So you write on one postcard, and then the other fellow who receives the mail tears it at the perforation, and then he responds on the other postcard that already has the postage paid. So if the Ragachava would have to pay for the postage, he already was a poor man. It would be impossible. He used to respond to people's letters, 100 letters a day. He used to always respond to God. So everybody would send them this double postcard. They would send a kasha. And everyone would ask, would try to stump the expert, would try to ask Givaldi Gakasha. I remember they printed collections of the letters, but I don't think it's even 5% of the letters. It's probably not even 1% of the letters. They used to send them letters at Keseda. Sidisha Yeshivas, Misnag Yeshivas, Litvisha, everybody, Polish Yeshivas, everybody sent them Kasha. I remember Rabbi Gifter was once telling us that he once had a Kasha on a Gemara, and no one in the Yeshiva, and tells the Yeshiva, no one knew the answer. So he asked them, he had a kasha on the Gemara in Krisis. So there was one big Talmud Chacham in the Yeshiva who was an expert on Krisis. So they told him he should ask the expert. He asked the eyes in a cup. The eyes in a cup didn't have a teretz either, and they said, send the kasha to the Ragachava. This is really going to stump the expert. So he said, he was all excited. He's going to stump the expert. So he sent the kasha on the double postcard. So he got back a response. Maya Tridaini Yadidi, what are you pestering me for? Be kind enough to look in a Tesis and Tumurit. Tesis works on your account. And no one in Yeshiva bring that. Anyway, that's all the letters that he has were all, they were all, in, most of the letters were in response to kashas that Yeshiva brought and asked him. They weren't Shabbos. They printed a collection of letters that they call the Shabbos of Shulis. It's not Shabbos of Shulis. That was Nagia La'alocha. They were all kashas and learning. So on one occasion, one of the people sent him a letter. What does he say about the Agudah? So he didn't, he knew what that meant. He didn't want to get involved in the politics. So he wrote him a response about Lulav Tzarech Eger. Had nothing to do with the question. Then someone else sent him a letter. It's all printed. He sent him a letter. What does he say about the Gimel Shavuos? Gimel Shavuos is the Gemara, the end of Ksuvos, that the Turekart always quote, that you're not allowed to pressure, you're not allowed to pressure the Umas Olam to establish a Medina. So he didn't want to write. He knew what they meant. He didn't want to write. So he wrote the whole Shiva Torah. Why the Shavuos was binding? Because we never took the Shavuos. Says that Hashbiyah Hashbiyah is Bnei Yisrael Leim Apokod Yifkar Luki Meschem Ha'alisim Asat Smoisan Mizeh Itchem. That Yosef Hashbiyam Shi Hashbiyah was Bnei'ah. Yosef Hashbiyah Hashbiyah says a Kefal Oshem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Hashbiyam Shi Hashbiyah was Bnei'ah. Yosef knew that the brothers are not going to live so long till Yitzias Matzah. They're going to be there for a long time. So he made them swear that they're going to make their children swear that they're going to make their children swear that they're going to make their children swear when it comes time to leave, they're going to take his body. So it's only binding if you make your children swear that they're going to make their children swear. But so Rabbi Yosef, so the Rav Chava says, so why the Gimel Shavuos binding? We never took a Shavuot? Just because our ancestors took a Shavuot 30 generations ago, what does it have to do with us? Why is it binding? So he gives us Shtikel Torah, and why the Gimel Shavuos are binding, he gives no advice, and the Shabbiyah and Shabbiyah was there. But he didn't want to get involved in any politics. See, that had nothing to do with politics at all. At all. He was... Abbas Atishke Tamil, monomania, just learning, that's all. Nothing else existed in the world. The only Satan he learned. Yeah, so we pass in again. We pass in Lulav Ein Tzorech Eged. So the Eged is only Lachatchil, it's not Miyaki B'di Yevet. The Shaila is, so if you pick up the Dalam Nidim and they're not tied together, so B'di Yevet, we pass in that Yod. What if you pick them up the Zeh HaZeh? What if you didn't even pick them up with Asacha?
Is there any solution to when you mock the Keshav and Keshav and
you got to tie it and leave it like that, and not use the keshet
ball. And not take it off onto.
Yeah.
What do you tie it with?
You tie. They tie with a strip of the loop.
How do you make it a keshet?
Double knot. That you can do. Yeah. But you run the risk of everything drying out. So that's why by those who don't take it apart, so they put it into a container of water. To keep it fresh. Like you keep flowers in water, so it's going to keep it fresh. The Mishnah, the Gemara talks about changing the water, Shulchanach talks about changing the water, Chalamayid, and Adyanta, you're not allowed to change the water, you restore it back into the original water, and so on. That's also a Shaila when it comes Shabbos. The Mishnah says that an Esrik Hamavushal is no good. And the Kavish is also Kimavushal, so even if I didn't cook the Esrik, if the Esrik was soaking in water for 24 hours, Kavish Chavtal Shal, as Kavish makes less, is Kavish Kimavushal. So there's a Dion, the Sechemed has this Dion. It quotes a Ramban. The Shaila is, on Shabbos, you don't shake the Lulav is Muktzah. So for those people, for those Hasidim, all the Jews from Eastern Europe used to do this. They would put the Lulav, the Hadassim and the Arabis, when they finish davening Musaf, so they put it in a container of water. So if it's Friday morning, you put it in a container of water, 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever, late dinner, 11 o'clock in the morning. Then on Shabbos, nobody shakes the lulav, so it stays in the container of water for more than 24 hours till Sunday morning. So is there a din of kavish and mevushal on the lulav and the hadassim and on the rubs? You don't put the esrog in the water. You only put, so maybe the din of bishul is only shaykh bishul on food. On esrog is shaykh to say bishul, kavish and mevushal. You say kavish and mevushal on wood. You say it's considered, the lulav is considered mevushal. It's considered kavish and mevushal. So this is a din. The Pischei Tshuva, the real Pischei Tshuva in Yeridei, and Hilchos Basa B'Chola, when he talks about Kavish Kamavushal, quotes the Ramban, who takes a stand on this issue. Whether, and then the Sechemet quotes the whole discussion. When you apply Kavish Kamavushal on the Esrig, you do apply the Shadr, but it applies also to the Lulav, the Hadassim, and the Arabis, because maybe it's only Eitz B'Yama. What you have to say, Kavish Kamavushal on Eitz. So this is a big machlekes Tosfos in the Rambam. We pass in the halacha that lulav ein tzorech eged, But still, you have to have a tzir. The rom yakum zezeh. All of them minimum yakum zezeh. So what is mitzaref them together? So Tosis quotes Menachos. Tosis Menachos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. In Sukkah, I don't think Tosis quotes this. You can learn the whole Masech of Sukkah. You won't know this. But the Mishnah is in Menachos. But the dalam minim yakum zezeh. So Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam there that yakum zezeh. And you have to have netila bevasacha. So if you pick up one after the other, you're not yotzei. The tziruf together is, even according to Rav Yehuda, the reason why it's tzorach eged is not because of the requirement for tziruf. It's clear in the Gemara that according to Rav Yehuda, the reason why you hold little tzorach eged is because you need an asiyah. So what's been tzaref them together? So you can say the eged or the fact of holding it together. So the Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam that even if you hold lulav and tzorach eged, where we pass malacha, you still need that you have to hold all four together bevasachas. And the Shulchan Aruch does not pass them like that. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, who says that you can pick up one after the other, and there's no problem. The Rambam just requires v'ushiyu kulam lefonov, that you're only yotzei if you pick up zahazeh, if you have all four in front of you. So that's a shailin achrenim, that's a machlekes achrenim. Why does he require v'ushiyu kulam lefonov? Is that in hilchas tziruf? That's on the level of the raisa, that the dalet minim amakim zahazeh. So if you pick up, let's say I'm in New York on Chalamoid in the morning, so I'll pick up the lulav, the hadas, and the aravos, but there's no kosher esrik. Then I happen to be going to Philadelphia in the afternoon, so I'll pick up an esrik. So it wasn't bevasachas, and it wasn't even kulam lefano. So that's no good menatayra. Is that what the Rama means? If you kulam lefano is not kulam lefano, then there's no tziruf. Or maybe the kulam lefano is only for the din derabbanon. That's how the Mishnah Brura assumes. It's only for the Din Rabbanan reciting a bracha that the Rambam says he's going to say a bracha over Lasiyasim before he picks up the first one. So how can he say a bracha over Lasiyasim if he doesn't have all the four minim in front of him? So that's like a Hesach Hadas. So that's why he says V'hushu Kulam Lefano, because he says that you can say the bracha before you pick up the first one. The bracha goes on all four. So that's a deal, and the Mishnah Berurah has that deal. When the Rambam said V'hushu Kulam Lefano, is it because of the din deraisa that you need tziruf, or is that only because of the issue of the rabbanon of over the oyv, that the bracha should not be recited over the oyv? But the Gemara would appear that the Gemara says the Pharisee that shaking the lulav deni nua is not miyakim. The Gemara says mina agbe nafik be. The Gemara says the minute you pick up the dal mina miyotze. But still, there is a din of lachatchila deraisa. Tosfos and Gittin write that there's no lachatchilin b'di'evad on the level of the raisa. That's an amatir. That's how Tosfos and Nid explains it. If you just see the Tosfos and Gittin, you wouldn't know. Tosfos in the end of Nid explains it. When you have a mitzvah, so there's a lot of dinim that are lachatchilin d'raisa, lachatchilin the mitzvah b'shleimusas if you do like so. B'di'evad, if you do like this, so it's also kosher, but it's a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusas. If you're dealing with a matir, let's say giving a get. So the lachatchil should write the get like that, and but the ever the get is good even if it's written like that. That can only be on the level of the rabban. It doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila and a b'di'evad on the level of the raisa in a matir. If it's matir b'di'evad, so it's matir lachatchila. What's that? Mitzvah b'shleimusa. You get a bigger olam haba because you wrote the get like this as opposed to that. You don't get any olam haba for giving a get. There's no mitzvah involved in giving a get. It's a din in the Torah. If the couple doesn't get along, you have to give a get, but it's not the, you can't speak about a mitzvah. That's what Tosfos writes. So lulav is a mitzvah. So that's why Shach to speak about a mitzvah b'shlein musa and a mitzvah shalom b'shlein musa. So we know from the Gemara, it would appear clearly that ninua halulav sounds like it's a real chelik of the mitzvah on the level of the raisa, not just an invention mid rabban. Ninua halulav sounds like it's the raisa. Midag bein ofik be if you picked it up, you can lose kedar for the loss of your yoytzeh. But v'chatchila, to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlein musa, you need ninua. That's, the Gemara has an interesting din. This doesn't really prove it, but the Gemara has the following din. In the end of Lulav Adozel, so there's that in Perek Lulav Adozel, the Gemara says that what age are the parents obligated to be mechanech their children in mitzvahs? So it says, katna ha'edel hisateif, when the kat knows how to do atifa, then the father has to buy him tzitzis. Katna ha'edel lishma tfilov, when the child is mature enough to be careful when he wears the tefillin, not to take the tefillin into mekaymus hametun afim, and to have a gufnaki and so on, not to go to sleep with the tefillin on, then the father has to buy him a pair of tefillin. Katan haydela nanea avim lakech lo dalaminim. He has to know how to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa. There is no fixed age for chinuch, for all the mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is different. That's how the Gemara says. If the cotton is able to eat a kazayis matzah, took the achilas pras, then the parents have to eat him kazayis matzah, and so on. Each mitzvah is different. So and the lashon of the braisa is, the cotton has to know how to fulfill the mitzvah bishlay musa. It says, cotton hayadeh lehisateif. What does that mean, cotton hayadeh lehisateif? So the same Gemara appears in the beginning of Erchim, I think on the first daf in Erchim. So Rashi over there writes, he knows when you put on the tzitzis, you put it on with the right hand, when you take it off with the left hand. That's not even quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That says by tefillah. It says, when you take off the tefillah, you should take it off with your left hand. But the original source, to show that you would have really preferred to leave on the tefillah all day long, but we're afraid we may not have a gufnoki, so that's why we want to take off. So the original source in the Gemara for that is the Rashi's Pirush on this Gemara. Cotton ideally is sateif, means the cotton knows how to fulfill the mitzvah bishlay musa. What's a mitzvah bishlay musa? To do atichos, number one, and he knows that he's supposed to put on the tzitzis with your right hand and take off the tzitzis with your left hand, take off the beggar with your left hand. So here also it says cotton ideally nanea, even though the ninua halulav is not leikuva, but let's say when you have little children, so they see the parents shaking the lulav, so they want to shake also. So sometimes the lulav and the esrog is so heavy they can't even hold it. It's going to be hanging down on the floor. They can't even pick it up unless the parents help it. So you're not chayiv. If the kid wants to, so you make the child happy. But there's no mitzvah chinuch if the child is so young that he's physically unable to do. Unless even if the child is able to hold the dalminim, he's not able to shake the lulav in the different directions. So that's what the Gemara says. It's only this man of chinuch begins kot na'edeh lo na'neah. Olive lokeach lo davening. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, how tall do the davening have to be? So the esrik has a minimum size, and then a machlek zatanam if there's a maximum size. We pass them, there's no maximum size. An esrik is unlike all other fruits. Another fruit, if you leave it on a tree, after it becomes ripe, so it falls off. Doesn't fall off, it's going to start to rot, because it's not going to be onik any longer. An esrog, to leave it on a tree, the Gemara says it's pre-yates hador, so the Gemara has a play on words, hador b'ilona mishana l'shana. If you leave it on a tree, it just gets fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. It just keeps on getting bigger. So the Gemara talks about Rabbi Kiva. He once had an esrog that he needed both hands to pick up. I saw such an esrog. I remember last time I was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot was when my daughter got married 9 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. So we visited Rabbi Grossman there, the disco rabbi's father, but he saw Grossman. So he said somebody gave him such a gigantic esrog. It was sitting on his table. He showed us like a pumpkin, came up like a watermelon, gigantic. If you leave it on a tree, from year to year, it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's a machlege satanoin. Are you allowed to use an esrog that's gigantic? Is there a maximum size? I think we passed enough. I feel the nito b'shteyodav is good. One time a holds, you can only use an esrog if you can switch hands. If it's small enough that you can switch hands, you're supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. That's mashma for nigmarit. You're supposed to hold the dalminim dafkin in two different hands. You're not supposed to hold it in one hand. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rabbi Yerucham, I think, the Magen Avraham quotes, that the more correct is to hold the two hands. Let's say when you're saying halal, like you're going with a shyness, so usually people hold the siddur in the left hand, they hold the dalaninim in the right hand. So that's what a lot of posthum say, that's not right. You should really hold the esrog, the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand, and hold the siddur somewhere else. Or don't hold the siddur. I remember Rabbi Gerelik, Zuchan Abracha, told us, he remembers in Brisk, there was only one set of dalaninim. They didn't have, they couldn't afford in Europe. It wasn't shayach, they couldn't afford that more. There's some communities to save the esrog from year to year. I think Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer about that. They used to save the esrog from year to year. They were afraid it was going to get shriveled up and ruined. So they used to preserve it in honey. So shayach kavish kamilusha. Kavish kamilusha was only if it's in a liquid. So the achrayim, the dark yeshiva, writes on Yeridaya, is that kavish kamilusha was something that is sitting in honey. So he says it depends how thick the honey is. If it's very thick honey, then it's not a mashka. If it pours very easily, so you make thick honey, it won't be a problem of kavish kamilusha. So you used to preserve the esrog from year to year. So Rav Gerel said he remembers he learned in Brisk for 2 years. He learned in the Miri Yeshiva, and he used to send Bochum to learn by Rav Elbel of Soloveitchik. So the Bochum only learned for 1 year, but he was going out with a girl from Brisk, and she didn't agree to marry him, so he had to stay a second year to clinch the shidduch. So So they allowed him to stay a second year. He was lucky. And then he married her. He married her. She passed away. They both passed away. So he said that he remembers the year that he was learning in Bris. They only had one set of Dalaminim. So this Gerov insisted that the Chazan should hold the Lulav in the right hand, the Esrog in the left hand, and someone should hold the Maksa and walk backwards in front of the Baal Tfila when he went around with Hoshanis. He was the only one who was walking with Hoshanis. There was nobody else. He didn't have 100 people walking in a row. There was one person walking around with Hoshanis. So no one else had a Lulav. So he had someone hold the Maksa and walk in front of him backwards. So the Chatzchili is really supposed to hold in two different hands. The Gemara says you hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, because the lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah and the esrog is only one quarter of the mitzvah. What if you switched hands? What if you held the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand? So the pashto says that you would be yotze. Why in the world should anybody think that you're not yotze? So the Rabbi Mogen Avraham quotes Rabbi Nachman and says on the Gemara that you're not yotze. The Gemara says in one case, when he picked up the Dalminim, he was Yotze. After Gemara, you're talking about a case, Kisha Hafachai. So Rashi says he held it upside down. If you hold the Pitam upside down, if you hold the Lulav upside down, so you're not Yotze, because we learn out from the Karshe HaMishkan that it has to be, Atzi Shita Mamdim, has to be Kederach Kedilosim, the same way it grew from the ground. So then whenever you need an original, let's say when you build the shul from logs, the logs can be sideways, because you didn't have to build the shul with wood, you could have built the shul with bricks also. So since you don't require a natural item, so there's no requirement for Kederach Kedilosim. But whenever you require a natural item, so it has to be Kederach Kedilosim. That's why it says that the defanus of the sukkah can have logs sideways. But on the schach, that's not a problem. How is anybody yotze with the schach? The schach has to be gedulei karka tolish and enim kavol tumah. So it has to be gedulei karka shelo nishtanu. So the schach is always not Kederach Kedilosim. No, so you got no prayer. But the Achrayim talked about that cash. It would have been possible to make some. And you should put it, no, but then you have to. And then you have to put it Kederach Kedilosim, though. Okay. They grow sideways. I don't know. You see, the Esrog also, when it grows, the Pitam is down. When it gets heavy, when it first starts to grow, the pitam is up. And then it gets a little heavy, so it's always hanging down. So the pashtun say that's not called Kederach Kedilosim is because theoretically the stem is attached to the ground on the bottom and the pitam is on top, so you always have to hold with the pitam on top. And they say even if it grew in China, the other side of the globe, really the pitam grew down. So some Achrayim say you should hold it upside down. And we don't pass on that. We say Kederach Kedilosim means, you know, in relationship to the globe, always has to be there for the loss. So I don't know, in evergreens, if you have a tree that grows sideways, what do you mean it grows sideways? But in principle, the stem is always on the bottom. I don't know what the din would be there. So there is a discussion, how come the schach is not keder for the loss? The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yudah, the lulav and tzarach eged, so the Gemara says, there'll be a problem if you use some min other than the lulav to make the eged, so you'll be in violation of Baltasir. So Tosis interprets in the Gemara, why should that be an issue about Tosis? But it's not Kederach Kedilosim, it's sideways. So Tosis says, no, but according to Rabbi Yudah, you need an eged, so the eged is always going to be sideways. So then it's self-understood that there's no requirement for Kederach Kedilosim on the eged. Even though you need one of the Dalaminim, so it could be that that's the answer, that's what the Achrayim discussed. Could be that that's the answer by the Schach also. You need Gidulei Karka. But you don't require Kederach Kedilosim because by definition it's self-understood, it has to be sideways. But it's not really necessarily true. You can construct this sukkah, you're going to have all the schach Kederach Kedilosim. You can have Kederach Kedilosim, it's going to be a pain in the neck. So in the stomach, that's what it means. It'll be a pain in the neck, so it's self-understood. That you don't need Kederach Kedilosim. Okay. So the Nachamon. So the Gemara says, if Hafachai, then the Gemara says you're not Yotze. So Rashi learns Hafach if you held it upside down. It's not Kederach Kedilosim. And the Magen Avraham quotes to Rabbeinu Chananel, Hafach means if you held the lulav in the left hand, the yesrog in the right hand. Then you're not Yotze to be able. So that's what he's Mo'ira, the Mishnah Brura quotes, the Magen Avraham is Mo'ira, that you should be Choshish for the Rabbeinu Chananel. That if you hold in the wrong hand, you're not Yotze. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machlokes. The Gemara says you hold the lulav in the right hand because it has three quarters in the mitzvah, and the esrog in the left hand because it has one quarter in the mitzvah. So So the Shulchan Aruch has a machloikis, the Mechabed Ramah representing a machloikis of Rishonim. What if one is a lefty? So should he? So the Mechabed says you should still hold the same way. Even if you're a lefty, you hold the lulav in the right hand and the yesuk in the left hand. The Ramah says we don't do like that. You hold the lulav in the left hand and the yesuk in the right hand if a person is a lefty. And then the Mishnah Berurah starts to quiver. He says, well, wait a minute. But the Magen Avraham quoted the Rabbeinu Chananel that if you switch hands, you're not yetzer b'yevid. So this is a real shaila li'kuba. It's not some a question of aminig, midas chasidus, what you should do. So he says maybe after the lefty benches esrig, whether he's going to follow the mechaber ramor, the svardim follow the mechaber, the Ashkenazim follow the ramor. So after he benches esrig, maybe he should shake, he should switch hands and shake again to make sure that he's yotzi on the level of the raisa. If you hold in the incorrect hand, if you hold in the wrong hand, then you're not yotzi according to Rabbeinu Chananel. I remember. I used to go to school when I was in high school. So I used to always walk down the block and there was always a man hanging out the window. He must have been retired. He would always say good morning to me. So I always thought he wasn't Jewish. So if he is. And then once on Chol HaMoed, I was running down the block with the Dal Minim, running to shul. So he said he wants me to come in. He wants to say bracha. I'm the lulav and the yeser. So he puts on a yarmulke and he starts taking the lulav in his, he takes the lulav in his left hand and the yeser in the right hand. So I started to tell him, no, you have to hold the lulav in the right hand. He's telling me. I'm old enough to be your grandfather, he tells me. So he says the bracha and then he switches hands. He was a Sephardi. So that was the way they held. That's called Oivel Asiyasim. If you hold it in the incorrect hand, so you're not Yotzeh. Shehafachoy. We do hafachoy. We hold it upside down. The Gemara says in Sochem on Nabzai, that there are some mitzvahs where you just can't help yourself and you say the bracha l'achar Asiyasim. The Gemara says, one of the mitzvahs is the Dalad Minim. You always say the bracha l'achar asiyos. What are you going to say? You're going to say the bracha before you pick it up. That's over the over. You're going to say the bracha after you picked it up. So that's already l'achar asiyos. The Gemara says, benag bein ofik bein. So the Rishonim are not smarter than the Gemara. That's strange. The Rishonim are not smarter than the Gemara. They say, that's what the Gemara said. But we can figure out a way to make it over l'asiyos. How? So a lot of Rishonim say, you hold it upside down. So this fellow, he was a Sephardi. He had a tradition. You hold it in the wrong hand, and then after you say the bracha, then you switch it into the correct hand. So again, so the Gemara talks about the minimum size. The Gemara says there's a minimum size to the esrig, either kebetza or keegos. We don't have such small esrig. Okay, but yours not a shame. Sometimes the esrig will shrivel on sukkahs. Sometimes the esrig will shrink so much by the end of sukkahs. That'll be smaller than a beitzah. So then you will have shayla. You pass them that an esrog has to be the minimum size of a beitzah, not the minimum size of an egg. So if your esrog shriveled so much, you will have a problem. Okay. But the maximum size we pass them is no maximum size. One time it says in the Mishnah that it shouldn't be so big that you can't switch hands. So you're going to have to switch hands in the middle of davening. So we pass them a filo, not what a shteya dime is also good. How can it be not of Ishtay Dan? So where is he going to be holding the lulav? So the Rambam says, B'zach hazeh, no problem. According to Rabbi Natan, how is he going to hold it? So hold the esrog b'shtei adayim. Hold this watermelon esrog b'shtei adayim. Hold the lulav somewhere sticking on the side. Okay. It's possible. According to Rabbi Natan, you have to pick up all the dalmin and b'zachas. So he'll hold both in the same hand. So then the Mishnah has minimum sizes for the lulav, hadassim, and arovas. There's no maximum size. Shulchan Aruch says you can have as tall as you want, but there's a minimum size. So what's a minimum size? So there are different opinions on the Shulchan Aruch, different opinions in the Gemara. So we paskin the hadassim and arovas has to have a minimum size of 3 tefachim. We assume normal tefach. The Gemara has one opinion, smaller tefachim. Chabad quotes such an opinion. The Rambam says that we are machmal lachatfila has to be the minimum size of 3 tefachim, and every tefach is dalar agudlin, so it's a yud beis agudlin, 12 agudlin, and the lulav has to be a tefach taller than the hadassim and the arovas kedela nanei. Has to be gimel tefachim plus kedela nanei. So the pashtus we assume that all the shiurim halachim meishim isina shiurim chatzis and mechitzan halachim meishim isina. The Pashtus, we assume that this shir is also Allah from Moshe Messina. But the Ninua, we assume, is Allah Hatchilo Derai.
Why is it that we just don't hold the Shadon in our right hand and make a bracha and pick up the Esther? Why would we turn the Esther upside down?
The Rishonim assume that that's a violation of Oyvah D'Oyvah. The Gemara says, "Kol haMitzvos Kulam Mevarach Aleihem Oyvah L'Asiyasam." The Gemara Pesachim Dav Zayin Amin Aleph. So the Rishonim explained that why does it say Oyvah? Why doesn't it say Kodem L'Asiyasam? So Kodem means sometime in advance, and Oyvah means immediately before, as opposed to Oyvah D'Oyvah. So if you didn't even pick up all the Dalaminim, that's considered Oyvah D'Oyvah. I think some hold that that's also Oyvah D'Oyvah. Some are not happy about that. But we assume, no, we're holding it, just that it's upside down. The Gemara says, Tfilah Meimasai Meroach Aleihem. So the Gemara says, you don't say the bracha as you're putting on. The Gemara says, the Tfilah Shariyan has to be sitting on your arm before you're about to do the Hidu. If you're going to say the bracha, some people are reciting the bracha as they're unwrapping the Shariyan. And by the time they'll finish unwrapping, by the time they'll finish the bracha, they will be ready to do it. So that's called over the oyv. You're not supposed to say the bracha until it's already on your arm as about, that's the Gemara. As you're about to do the heat. So the more of it appears that you're not supposed to say bracha over the earth.
Why do you need a fourth pepach for the nanum? Why can't you
recover
the lulav?
So you see, the Gemara holds that the ninuah of the lulav should be noticeable above the gimel tvachim of the hadasim and the aravos. And then the Ramah quotes the Ran, that if you have taller hadasim and aravos, then you have to have a taller lulav. The lulav has to protrude at tefach above. A lot of people don't know that it. A lot of times you have short lulavim and tall hadasim and aravos. So the Ramah quotes the Ran, and the Ran holds us far that this makid b'dieved, that the lulav has to protrude at tefach above the top of the hadasim and the aravos. And then the Ran goes further, based on a Gemara, that it has to be the shedra of the lulav should protrude. The shedra is the fat part. And then when you get to the top of the lulav, the shedra disappears. The first couple of inches on the top, there is no shedra. Shedra is when you have a few leaves, all the backbone, the spine, where they're all together. So the shedra disappears around the tefach below the tip of the lulav. So the shedra of the lulav is supposed to protrude a tefach above how high you put your hadasim and aravos. Usually people don't put the hadasim and aravos together with the bottom of the hadasim and aravos. Usually they have it elevated a few inches above. So sometimes you kill a mitzvah, sometimes you're not yotze b'dieved. Don't have it so high. Or sometimes you have very tall aravos, don't have such tall aravos. Snip off the bottom of the aravos. The Ramah quotes also that you're supposed to have the hadasim, the top of the hadasim should be higher than the top of the aravos. Usually by us the aravos are longer. The aravos are taller than the hadasim. So you should lower the harovis, so cut off the bottom of the harovis. Don't cut off the top of the harovis. The Yashan of Nikdam Rosh, cut off the bottom of the harovis. Rashi is quoted as saying, as a pella, Rashi is quoted as saying that if you have your hadasim and harovis in such a way that the harovis are above the hadasim, you're not yotze b'dieved. So that's not, how can you say you're not yotze b'dieved? If the Rambam holds, you can pick up the zeh hazeh. Shulchanach pasuk like the Rambam, that you can pick up the zeh hazeh. So how can that correspond? How can you hold like Rashi? That if you hold them together, but the hadasim are lower, the aravos are higher than the hadasim, you're not yotze b'dieved. How are you supposed to remember which is supposed to be above which? So the Rishonim give a similar dover, that the aravos look like lips and the hadasim look like eyes. So the eyes in a normal face, the eyes are higher than the lips. It's makid b'dieved. If you have the lips higher than the eyes, you got a major problem.
So what's the minimum shear for the aravos?
Minimum shear is 3 tvachim. The same problem, let's say, by Bar Kragwachin of Kiddush, and then you say Bar Miyari Hoesh, and Bar Miyari Sonam and Habdol and Homo. The Shah of the Hefster, so the Rosh answers whatever the Chachamim on Mesakan is not a Hefster. So this is what they're on Mesakan, that you should say Shachyan in conjunction with the Asiyah Samitzah. So that's not the violation of Ayyubi Yeh. Yes, so. That's part of the Birchas Samitzah. The Mesakan to say Shachyan in addition to the Birchas Samitzah. Why should it be so? Why? That's a way to remember it, that the eyes are above the lips. Okay, it's a good way to remember. Why should it be makid b'dieved? Where did it come from? Where did Rashi get this from? So the Marsham gives a suggestion of Derech HaDrush, that the Hadassim represents Tzadikim. It's in the Nevuah of Zechariah. It says he was riding, he had a dream, he saw, I think, red horses riding Ben HaHadassim. Rashi and Zechariah writes the Nevuahs of Zechariah are the least understood, the most complicated. You know, a lot of times you don't know what he's talking about without the traditions of the Gemara. So the Rashi says over there, the Hadassim represent the Tzadikim. And the Arabis somehow represent the Rishoyim, who have neither Tam nor Reh. That's what the Medrash says. That the Dalet Minim, the Hadassim have Tam, they have Reh, and they have no Tam. Ezek has a Tam and a Reh. And the Lulav has a Tam and it has no Reh, because the Lulav is on a date tree. So it has a Tam and it has no Reh. And the Arabis have no Tam and no Reh. So the Arabs represent the people who don't have mitzvahs and they don't have Torah. They have neither. No Torah, no mitzvahs. But the Arabs represent the Rishon. So the Hashem suggested maybe that's what was bugging Rashi. How do they quote such a thing named Rashi? If you have an Arabs taller than the Hadassim, you're not Yetzin. So maybe because the Arabs represent the Rishon, and Hadassim represent the Tzaddikim, so you have to still represent. How can you say not Yetzin, but Yevin? Not to be understood. Anyway, but for sure, Lachatzili, you've got to be careful. To have the Hadassim, the tip of the Hadassim should be taller than the tip of the Arabis, which is usually a problem, because usually they sell you Arabis that are taller than Hadassim. You have to snip off the bottom. And then you have to have it that it's slightly higher. And then the Shedra of the Lulav should protrude a tefach above the top of the Hadassim and the Arabis, which is sometimes a major problem, because if you have a short Lulav and tall Hadassim, then you're going to have a problem. What exactly does it mean, Ninua? You have to be menaneh in all the six directions. What does it mean, Ninua? So this is also machlekes harishanim, but it just means waving it in the different directions, or it means shaking it. So the Kaz writes that since it's a machlekes, and the meaning is that you do both. So exactly how you do both is also, people usually don't do the way it says in the Kaz. Kaz says that you wave twice. Let's say you're going, you're facing Mizrach. So you wave Mizrach once, twice, and the third time, when you wave, you shake three times. Usually the meaning is that people wave in each direction, they wave and they shake it, and they come back, they shake it one, shake it one, shake it one. That's why they usually, it doesn't make a difference. I remember Rav Soloveitchik didn't do like that. He just waved it, he didn't shake it at all, and he says he saw the Gdolim in Europe, that's what they did. I think over here, I think if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Breuer also, I think he just waved it. Okay, got to check the thunder. He didn't shake it. Different days in Rishana. What does it mean, Ninua? Ninua just means to wave in the different directions or to shake it as well. The Gemara says that in order for the Hadassim to be kosher, have to be Mishuloshim. And if it's not Mishuloshim, then we call it a Hadas Shaita. What does it mean, a Hadas Shaita? An idiot. What's a Shaita? So usually people say, Ovi Yisir Estem Ba'ashotim, Ani Ayaser Estem Ba'akrabim. Who said that? Rechava, my thing. Forgot already in Torah. So Shotim means twigs, branches. Ovi Yisir Estem Ba'ashotim, my father hit you with twigs. So you usually say, Hodoshoite, it's a twig, which is not acceptable for the Mitzvah. Yeah, but there's a Gemara in Yeshnoichen where the Gemara talks about Bechor Shoite. There's a Bechor who gets Pishnaim, and there's a Bechor who doesn't get Pishnaim. Let's say the oldest child is a girl, and then the oldest one of the sons is a b'chor shaita, or he's a b'chor to his mother. He's the firstborn to his mother, but he's not the firstborn to the father. The father married a woman who had a child previously. So the oldest child is not going to get pishnayim. Or if it was a cesarean delivery, so the Gemara says sometimes it's not figuring out then. Different deal. So the Gemara calls him a b'chor shaita. What am I going to say? He's a twig. He's a branch. So it seems that Shaitan is an idiot. It seems like the same expression they use over there. That's how the Rashbam writes. Bechor Shaitan is like a Hadash Shaitan. It's not a twig. Anyway, the Gemara says if it's not Misholoshim, that's called the Hadash Shaitan and it's no good. So what does it mean, Misholoshim? Misholoshim means you have to have a minimum of three leaves that are coming out from the stem at the same spot. You shouldn't have all over the place. For years, that was a major problem. It's still a major problem. You have to have Mishuloshim. So the Mechaber writes, Lichat Chila should be Mishulosh Kulo. And B'dieved, if it's Mishulosh Rubo, you say Ruba Kekulo is also good. The din of Ruba Kekulo In mitzvahs, it's only b'di'evet. L'chatchila, you should do the mitzvah b'shalei musa and not to be lying with the kikulam. Let's say in Hilchas Pesach, it says that Bach says like that. Magen Avraham quotes Bach. L'chatchila, you should drink kolakos by the abekaisis. And b'di'evet, if you drink rovkos, then you say ruba kikula. But l'chatchila, you say you should drink kolakos. It's based on a Gemara in Chula in the beginning of the second parak. The Gemara says by shchita l'chatchila shishech kolasimim. The whole kana, the whole veishet. And b'di'evet, if you shech rov. So the Gemara says it's only good by the Yevim. Some Rishonim, there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos there. And that Gemara, the beginning of the second parak in Chulin, is that a lachatchila deraisa or lachatchila derabbanan? The Rashi's opinion is that that's a lachatchila deraisa. Rashi apparently thinks that shechita is a mitzvah, so shaykh to have a lachatchila and by the Yevim on the level of deraisa. Could be that Tosfos holds that shechita is only a matir. It's not a mitzvah, so it's not shaykh b'chlal to have a lachatchila by the Yevim. Whenever you have a mitzvah, like over here, Hadassim is part of the mitzvah of Zalud Minim. So the Hadassim have to be Mishaloshim. The Mechaber writes, Lechatchila should be Kulo. That's a Mechaber like that. Lechatchila should be Kulo Mishulosh. And B'di'evet, Rubo Mishulosh. Look, it could be, we have a Klal Shas Hadchak K'di'evet on it. It's going to take you another hour. If you have three Hadassim that are Mishaloshim Rubo, and you want to do Lechatchila, you want to have Kulo Mishulosh. You want to have all the three Tzvachim. All the Yud Beis HaGudlon should be Mishulosh. It may take you an hour to stand there to pick out. So that could, it depends how valuable your time is. If you're a busy man, you don't have so much time, and you don't have someone else who can pick it out for you. So that could be called Shas HaTchakir Yavadami. You're not mechayiv to spend an extra hour. That's the question. When is it called? When can you rely on the B'di'evet, and when not? Arovas, everybody knows the two kinds of Chsidish Arovas and Misnagdish Arovas. The Gemara says that if the Arovas are like a Tzaf Tzofa is another kind of Arova, a word that appears in Tanakh, in Novi. So the Gemara says if it's a Tzaf Tzofa, means that if it has a jagged edge, then it's no good. So the Gemara says it depends how the edge is jagged. How does it protrude? Choke it? The Gemara says if it's like a sword. Like a sword, then it's possible. But if everything is going in the same direction, it doesn't protrude straight out. So that's how the Mishnah B'Sharo is all like that. Now see the Mamakra that they want to have smooth, no jagged edge at all. So strictly speaking, while they're rubber, they don't sell these kinds. They don't sell that stuff. They only sell the Mishnah B'Sharo. So many are medactic. They want to have the Vuhudr, they want to have that it should be smooth. Some Rishonim said that based on the Gemara that lachatchila the Arava should grow near a river, Arve Nachal, to fulfill the Pshuto Shal Mikro. And the Gemara says, Mikomakom, Arve Mikomakom, even if it's not Gidela Mala Nachal, that's B'di'evet. But as a mitzvah Bishlam Musa, it should really grow by a river. Now, how are you going to know? It's surprising that they didn't make a racket out of that yet. Everything else, the Chassidish, they charge more for the smooth Aravas. So someone should sell our rovers that grew by a river, whether it's true or not, but they should charge $10 more for rovers that grew by a river. The Minchas Chinuch has Akasha, which in America they parenfed already, because they were so concerned about the Minchas Chinuch's Kasha. The dinners on the first 2 days in each Shalachem. So there's a Rashi and Sukkah. Rashi has it more than one place, but in order to be called Shalachem, you have to have a Shavu Pruta. It's not that there's no ownership on less than the Shavakut, there is ownership. But whenever the mitzvah requires Shalachem, so there's a shear in the Shalachem. If the thing is pachas b'Shavakut, then it's not considered Shalachem for mitzvah purposes. So the Haschirch is bothered with the kasha. Arovas, you can get 10 for a penny. You can get 100 for a penny. Who charges a pruta for arovas? So how is it Shalachem? That's his kasha. So in America, they wanted to forever the kasha. So they charge $3 for an arovas to make sure that it's Shalachem. What's the teretz in Europe in the days of the Minchas Chinuch that the Arabas were 10 for a penny? What's the teretz? The answer is that all the dalaminim on the Akram says that an asterisk you can't get for less than a shavakuta. If all the dalaminim have a shavakuta together, then it's called shalachem. Then it's called a shavakuta. You don't need that the Arabas separately should be shalachem and the hadassim separately should be shalachem. Everything all together has a shavakuta, so it's called shalachem. That's how Rashi writes in a few places in Maseches Sukkot, that if it's worth less than a Shavakuta, then it's not called Shavakhan. Achronim quote from the Vahag. Tosfos always says, Vahag, you got to be careful. Called Rav Dibri Kabbalah. Vahag is from the days of the Goyim. Sefer Halachos to Goyim. You always have to have respect for the Vahag, even though he says things we don't know where in the world he gets it from. So he says over here that the leaves of the Aravis the leaves of the Hadassim should not be larger than a thumbnail. Sometimes you have Hadassim which are very big and fat. So the Vahag calls that that's no good. So the Achronim quote this, and they say, Tyson always says, you gotta be careful with the Vahag called Rav Dibri Kabbalah. This is based on, we know what it's based on. It's based on the Gemara in Elu Treifas. The Gemara in Chulin talks about certain Treifas. So the Gemara says, I forgot already which Treifas the Gemara says it about. So the Gemara says, if it's the size of, a thumbnail which corresponds to the size of a leaf of a hadas, that will determine whether it's a treif or a ksheira. So you see from that Gemara that the size of a leaf of a hadas is not larger than the size of a thumbnail. So usually the hadasim are small, but once in a while you buy hadasim that are gigantic leaves, so that's questionable if that's the correct min. What does the Gemara have a din regarding lulav? The Gemara says nechlecha hatayomis is possible. What does it mean nechlecha hatayomis? So it's so the Gemara says that so the Shulchan Aruch has a machlech. So most of the Rishonim say that all of the leaves of the lulav are all double, and if rov of all of the tips of the leaves are split, nechlecha hatayomis of rov of the leaves, rov of the alim, then you can't use that lulav. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, and there are those who are machmir, that the tiyomis means the central leaf, the one of the three leaves in the middle that come up directly from the shedra on top. So that's the chumr. If it's not lekat tiyomis, that'll also be possible. Most of the time, Taisus says takasha, Taisus Mavakama says, in the end of Mavakama, you won't find echad mina yelef. You won't find one out of 1,000. That's not lekat tiyomis. That's a big problem. Soloveitchik said he remembered that there were, I remember the whole thing, he said there were three things that Rav Chaim was so machmer about, it was an unbelievable exaggeration. He was machmer nechla katiyomis, like Tosfos says, he tousled up all of the love. He didn't want to use one out of a thousand. Tosfos says, you won't find one out of a thousand. Rav Chaim was machmer, there shouldn't be nechla katiyomis at all. And Shulchan Aruch says, nechla katiyomis, the little one in the middle, up until a tefach is okay. Up until a tefach is okay. So Rav Chaim is machmir, even if it's slightly split on top. A lot of people are machmir. You don't want to get nechlecha tiyomis even a little bit split. And he said he used to be machmir about Ad Kedei Guzma. He was machmir about a zechlin and a mikveh. That he would passel every mikveh in the world. The din is that if the mikveh has seepage, if it's losing its water, so it's possible. So the Shulchan Aruch says every mikveh is losing its water. The water. Now we have mikvahs that have cement around the side and the pit. What was the mikvah years ago? They dug a hole in the ground, and the water would always be absorbed into the earth on the side. If you wait long enough, all the water is going to be absorbed. So there's always going to be zechla. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's only if it's chila hanikeres. If it's chila shein hanikeres, if it's not noticeable, it doesn't pass. So there's a machlokes in Achrayim, the Daki Tshuva there quotes machlokes in Achrayim. Well, how do you determine whether it's chila hanikeres? So a lot of Achrayim say you put a marker on the wall of the mikveh, let's say an inch above the surface of the water, and you come back an hour later and you see if it's still an inch above or is it 2 inches above.
How long do you wait between
an hour? Oh, so some Achrayim say you wait an hour. You come after an hour, if it's noticeable that it's much lower, that's the chila nikeres. Another Achrayim say you come back 24 hours later. Achrayim is machmir even more than 24 hours later. That is called chila nikeres. Rav Soloveitchik in fact mentioned that when Rav Chaim got married, he lived in Valozhin. He married the Netziv's granddaughter. He lived in Valozhin, so he wasn't happy with the mikveh. They wanted them to redo the mikveh. So he says, his wife's grandfather said, we ain't gonna redo no mikveh for you, mister. He said, this mikveh was good, my wife used it, and my daughters used it, my grandmother used it, and we're all gonna use this mikveh. That's what Rav Chaim said. You're not supposed to introduce any chumas if something is kosher. Rav Chaim, no, it wasn't kosher. If something is kosher, so you're not supposed to introduce chumash. Kedeshah lo lehotzi laz al adoris harishen. The Gemara says benigeh te get. We discussed the one a couple of weeks ago. Benigeh te yuchsin, yeah. Right. So Shiloh, you see, ben anida is an issue of yuchsin. It's not tam chumra adin. Ben anida is a shere koshin. Apalach chogum. Anyway, I already forgot what the third thing was. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim is to make everybody crazy. On the Shleimus, on the Matzah, I don't remember. They tell stories that his children would stand for hours. He thought all the Matzahs were not Shleimus, because every Matzah was broken off a little bit. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if it's missing less than 148, less than 2%. So that's not a problem. So all the matzahs you have 98%, they even have chipped off at the end. So I think they tell, I remember, but the others write like that. The Rav Chaim was machmer unbelievably. So nechlekatayomis is a big issue on Shulchan Aruch. A lot of times you have nechlekatayomis in a fashion that for sure it's possible. The Shulchan Aruch says, if it's kehemnik. Kehemnik means if it's flipped and you can go like this. You hold the lulav like this, and you can see on top that it's split. You don't have to separate it with your finger. If you see on top that it's a V, so then the Gemara says that it's no V. Then the Gemara says there's no shear for that. So that's a lot of times you have kehemnik. That says in the Gemara that it's possible. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, if the lulav is leaning to the side, it's possible. Sometimes you have it like that. If it's, a lot of times the lulav, the wind blows, it's leaning a little bit to the side. But it's only if it's really, really humped over. Either to the right side or to the left side is possible. What if it's leaning over, not to the right or to the left, this way or that way? So then the Gemara makes a distinction. If it's leaning towards the shedra, then it's kosher. If it's leaning the other direction, then it's possible. So the Shulchan Aruch says you try to get a straight lulav. The lulav is supposed to represent tzadik atama yifroch, supposed to represent the Rabban Shalom, and tzadik, so tzadik should be straight, or like a tree. So you should try to be careful not to get a crooked lulav. By the time they sell the esrogim in the stores, you never see any chazazes. They're not going to sell you an esrog. Once in 50 years, they'll show you an esrog, a collector's an esrog with a chazazes on it.
Is there any problem with these of the tiyamas not being the same size?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a problem. As long as it has a double leaf, then it's not split. I don't think that's a problem. A lot of times you have that.
Can you just inspect the lula then with your finger and just say that you don't see it broken, but like it's probably good?
If you want to be machmir for nechla katiyam is the middle one, yeah. But usually the worst it's going to be is going to be split half an inch or something. It's not going to be split anywhere near a tefach.
Yeah. You,
if you parcel his lulav, then you are not a mamazik, so then you have to pay the merchant for the lulav that you're not buying, if you don't want to ruin it. Yeah, so you should be careful not to parcel his lulav. But you should try to see if careful. It shouldn't have a major split down the middle. Because if it has a little split, so during the course of Yom Tov, it's going to split further. So it may split, and it's going to have a tefach split in the middle.
During one of the days, not the first day of Yom Tov, you find it nice, but you don't have to take examples on your own.
The Gemara says that chaser is kosher. The Gemara comments on the pasuk Ula Kachtem. Ula Kachtem has the connotation of Lekicha Tam, that it shouldn't be Chaser. So Chaser is only possible on the first day, in the first 2 days. If you live in Chutzla the first 2 days, that you need Shalom. But the rest of Sukkot's Chaser is good. So what's the din of Hadar? Shalachem you don't need the rest of Sukkot. That, the Ramban says you don't need Shalachem even when it was in Nigdash, that it was the right, that there was no need for Shalachem. Called Shiva. Taisa disagrees, and when it was their Raisa, you would need Shalachem, but when it's only Zechel HaMikdash, Chutz LaMikdash, only Zechel HaMikdash, then you don't need Shalachem. What's the din of Hadar? So that's a machlokes, Chaf Nisvad and Chaf Ashkenaz, how we read the Gemara in the first daf in Lulav HaGozel. So the Mechaber Paskens like the Chaf Misvar that you only need Hodor on the first 2 days. You don't need Hodor the rest of Sukkot. And there are more Paskens that you do need Hodor the rest of Sukkot. So that's a shot you have to determine each psul. Is it possible because of Choser that they split the Lulav? Split Lulav, going to say it's not Hodor? How can you say it's not Hodor? The Pashtus is that it's Choser. The Choser is only a problem the first 2 days. The rest of Sukkot is not in a Choser. And Esrik, that's missing a pitim, so the Gemara says nitla pitma is possible. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What's called nitla ha pitma? So the pashup shat is that the whole pitim, if you have an Esrik that grows without a pitim, it says it is kosher. But if it grew with a pitim and the pitim was broken off, then it's possible. If you have little children, so it's highly recommended to buy an Esrik without a pitim, because they're always going to drop the Esrik, it's always going to break the pitim. It's very hard to survive. Very hard for an Esrik to survive if you have little children with a pitim on top. So the best thing is to buy without a pitim. But if you have an Esrik that grew with a pitim and the pitim fell off, then it says it's possible. That's the Gemara. So this is machlokes and Shulchan Aruch. When is it possible? So most of the Rishonim hold it's only possible if the whole pitim is off and it's chaser in the Esrog. The top of the Esrog is missing. The same thing. Let's say the ukitz was removed. So the ukitz is always cut off. You always cut it off from the tree. You have a little bit of the wood. But if the whole ukitz is removed, then you have an empty guma on the bottom of the esrog. So that's called chaser. So that passes. So the pitim, yikir adin, v'yosun pitim only, nitla pitim only passes if it's a chaser in the gufa esrog. But then the Rambam quotes that there are those rishonim ha-machmer, if the tip of the pitim, the fat part, the tip of the pitim is broken off, even though the stem of the pitim that's protruding is still above the esrog, and there is no real chaser on the esrog. So what's wrong if it's not chaser? So some hold that's also called chaser. And there's a chumra on top of a chumra, assuming that if the tip of the pitim is broken off, it's not good, not because of chaser, but because of a lack of hodor. And we passed in a hodor pasul called shivas. If you put three chumras together, if you combine three chumras together, so then you're going to pass over an esrog where the pitim was broken, the tip of the pitim was broken. The chaba holds the tip of the pitim is broken, doesn't pass. The Ramah is machmir that it does pass. Then, the Ramah is machmir to say that it's possible not only because of chaser, if it's only because of chaser, then it's only possible on the first 2 days. Chaser is kosher the rest of the day. That's the favorite in the Gemara. So the Ramah is machmir to say that hodr, that nitla pitma is a lack of hodr. And that goof is a machlokes. So it's a lack of hodr, possible the rest of Sukkot and not. So the Ramah says yes. Chaba holds no. Chaba holds that lack of hodr doesn't possible. So many are machmir, all three together. Nitla pitma means a tip of the pitim, and it's a lack of hodr, and lack of hodr passes called shiva. So that's why it's recommended not to buy an esrog with a pitim. Okay? But mikra din is some, you're not mechuyif to be mitzarv so many chumris together. Mikra din is probably kosher. There's always an issue with an esrog when the esrog can grow on the tree, so the branches of the tree, when the wind is blowing, so the branches make big gashes in the esrog, and makes it chaser. So if the esrog continues to grow in the tree and it heals itself, it grows over it, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's okay. There are more quotes from the Rishonim that that's acceptable. If that person has a scar and then the body heals and it grows over, so it's not more chaser. Sure. The same over here, the esrog that has a nick and it grew over it, so that's that becomes kosher. The hidur of an esrog is that it should not be smooth like a lemon, that it should be lumpy and bumpy. And it should not be short and fat, it should be tall and thin. That's what it says. It should be kemigdol. Shouldn't be. And sometimes if it's kadur, then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara. If the esrog is fat like a ball, like a baseball, then it's kosher. So usually the esrog is not fat like a baseball, but it's not always tall and thin. Very often it's very fat. So there is that it should be taller and thinner as opposed to shorter and fatter. Green esrog is a Gemara that is possible. Yorik kakarsi. I remember talking 9 years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. So one of the boys from the yeshiva showed me a beautiful esrog that he spent so much money for. It was mamish green like the blackboard. He was a chassidish guy, so the chassidim are makpet the davke by green. So I almost gave him a heart attack, and I told him that the Mishkan is saying, he says that it's possible. Mishnah and Sankev lived in Karlin, where they had Karlin and Hasidim, Stoma and Hasidim. Rabbi Yankel of Karlin. And he has a whole tshuva attacking the Hasidim. That an Esrig that's green, it's no good. Why they base it on a Zohar that is supposed to be Yorok? So he says, but the word Yorok is a vague word. The word Yorek Hakarsi, Tosi says, the word Yorek Hakarsi means green like grass. Green like the trees, like the leaves on the trees. But the word Yorok in Talmudic terminology usually means brown or yellow or other colors. So when he insists that when the Zohar says that the Esrog should be Yorok, it doesn't mean green, it means brown or yellow. That's the normal color. That's a famous tshuva by the Mishkan Esrog. By mistake, that tshuva crept its way into the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Valozhina. The Mishkan Esrog was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Valozhina. So they write that probably what happened was, you can tell that it's not Rav Chaim Valozhina, it's a different style. Rav Chaim Valozhina never quotes any Zoyas in his tshuvas. Mishkan Esrog always quotes Zoyas. Rav Chaim Valozhina always quotes which daf and which shalom and which tesis divra maska. And the Mishkan Esrog writes that tesis in Enam Egalton. It's a Yerushalmi in Erevin. He never tells you where. So this tshuva is, you can tell it's the style of the Mishkan Esrog. It's clear, Rav Chaim Valozhina has his own style of writing. Everyone has their own style. So what happened was, the Chutam Shulosh is a collection of the tshuvas of the three Rosh Yeshiva of Valozhina. Rav Chaim Valozhina is the first. And then they have Rav Blazer Ritche, who is the son-in-law of Rav Chaim, Rav Blazer Yitzchok, and Rav Hillel, who are the two sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Valozhina. So the tshuvas were collected after Rav Chaim Valozhina passed away, so they took whatever they found around the house. Apparently, Mishkan Esrog sent his tshuva to Rav Chaim Valozhina, a copy for his approval. And when they found it, after Rav Chaim Valozhina passed away, they found it on his desk, and they put it together, and they printed it by mistake. The Mishkan Esrog had already been printed before the Chutam Shulosh was printed. So Rav Yankel Kalina printed it in his tshuvas, as his own tshuvas, so it's clear that it's a mistake. Anyway, it doesn't matter who wrote the tshuva. The pashtus is the tshuva is correct, that a green esrog is possible. So don't anybody sell your bill of goods. They can charge you $100. Well, they write on the side $200 for an esrog for Rosh Yeshiva. What was that sign made about? The most mahuda costs $200. I'm resigning. So then in Shulchan Aruch, they quote a kula, but not everybody agrees to that. What if it's starting to change colors? You see that the green is starting to turn yellow. So why is a green possible? So the Gemara had two pshatim. So one pshat, the Gemara says green is possible because it's a lack of hadar. We paskin, you need hadar. So it's a lack of hadar. Then the Gemara says, you could even kvetch, even if you hold that there's no psul of hadar, even if you hold the hadar doesn't possible on an esrig, hadar doesn't even possible on an esrig. Maybe green is possible because it's not yet Gemar HaPri. It has to be pre-eggs hadar. If it's green, it's not fully ripe. So then, Taisa says, within that shita, if it's, you see that it's beginning to turn yellow, a part of it is going to turn yellow, and the rest is also going to turn yellow, so maybe that's called the Gemara Pri. So the Mishkan is Yankee Tanis, but we pass can hold that does pass. So we don't need the second suggestion in the Gemara. Why it's possible? Because it's not Gemara Pri. Hakati la Gemara Pri. We paskin green is possible because it's not hotter. It's a mara possible because it's not hotter. So he says even if it's choizah the mara esrog is still no good.
But it's possible that choizah means one. If you don't say like Bishop Sango, it's possible that the choizah no mara esrog that has to be already it's started already turning yellow, or if it's the palace that even sometime on Sukkot it will turn yellow, so it's not a real green.
I think they quote the Bach says that if it's already part of it began to turn yellow, so then you see it's going, the rest of it is going to turn yellow, so then it's good. Sometimes it's just not going to turn yellow. Sometimes it begins to turn yellow and never lives so long. It just doesn't turn yellow. They plucked it off on the tree too early. There is a machlokes achreinim regarding huktzah and mitzvah by the sukkah. The original din of huktzah and mitzvah is chaga sukkah. The Chag of Sukkot means that Sukkot Sukkot Shlechag to a carbon Chagiga, because Shem Shachal Shem Shemaim Ava Chagiga, Kach Chal Shem Shemaim Ava Sukkot. So the Sukkot is hooked to the mitzvah. So there is a machloek Sachain. What does that mean? The Gemara talks about taking off Schach and using it for some other purpose. Lachsus Goshinov is going to take off some of the Schach and use it as a toothpick. What if he's not going to use it for his own purposes? He's just going to take down the whole Sukkot and put it away. Let's say he's renting space in the middle of Manhattan and it costs him $100 a day to rent space to leave a sukkah. And on Hashanah Rabbah, he's not going to go to work. Or he's going home. Hashanah Rabbah, he's going home. and he does need a sukkah there in the, next to his office on Mishmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. So he'd like to take down the sukkah. It's not going to be none of him anything. Just put it away. Or a guy has a collapsible sukkah. So he goes on an outing to the mountains. He has a picnic and he opens up his sukkah. And then he wants to take it home with him. So is there anything wrong with taking apart the sukkah? So the Pischei Tshuva on Arachayim quotes the Kari Hadat. If you have that kind of shulchan aruch, you don't need the Pischei Tshuva. The Kari Hadat is in the back. Kari Hadat is a likut of Achreinah by one of the Sephardish Gedolim, Rav Daniel Trani. So it usually gives a likut of Achreinah, and on this it's not a likut. He says he had a machlokes with the Talmid HaYeshiva. Is this included in the din of Chal Shem Shem Huk to the Mitzvot? Huk to the Mitzvot means you're not allowed to be nene from it. What if you're not going to be nene? You're just going to pass on it. Look, I'll take the Esro on Hoshana Rabbah. It's Huk to the Mitzvot on Shemini Atzeres also. So I'll take the Esro. Hoshana Rabbah doesn't make sense to cut open the Esro. A lot of people like to cut open the Esro to see if they were fooled into buying a Murkov or is it really a kosher Esro. How can you tell? And a lemon has a very thin peel. An esrog has very thick. Half of the thickness of the esrog is the skin. The skin is very thin. So a lot of people like to cut open the esrog to see whether they were fooled or not. Was it really a murkav or not? So the shaila is, when it's still hooked to the mitzvahs, I'm not going to eat the esrog, I'm just going to pass it. I'm going to cut it open and look at it. So is that a violation of hooked to the mitzvahs? So that's a machloek is by esrog. That's an achlag by the sukkah. Is that a violation of Huktzah Mitzvah? To pass on the whole sukkah, to take apart the whole sukkah, no more sukkah. The Tesis, Pashtus and the Tesis, that is what it is. So that's included in Huktzah Mitzvah. The Pasal is also Huktzah Mitzvah. I'll be Pashtus like that. Where exactly do you put the Zemachlokes Hatanoim in the Mishnah? How many Hadassim do you need? Do you need three Hadassim? Rabbi Kiva holds you have one Lulav, Kishem Shelulav Echad, Esed Echad, Kach, Chodes Echad, by Rava Achas. Kiva only holds 1-1-1-1. Kiva is supposed to be the big Mekubal. All the Mekubalim say, all the Kabbalah comes from Bakiva. And they say that the Dalet Minim, you have 7 units. You have 3 Hadassim and 2 Arovas is 5 and 1 Esrog, 1 Lulav is 7. So the 7 units correspond to the 7 spheres. Rav Soloveitchik used to kibitz about that. But the chief Mekubal was Rav Akiva, and he holds that it's 1-1-1-1. So obviously, not so Mukhrach. That the 7 is Keneged Zayin spheres. Anyway, so in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloek is how we paskin. L'chatchila, we require 3 hadasim. What if you really get stuck? You only have 1 hadas that's kosher. The others are not mishuloshim. So, are you masufik whether it's mishuloshim or not? Can you say a bracha or not? So some paskin say mikra, then we paskin, that 1 is good. Adiyun and the Mishnah Brura had a paskin. Exactly, where do you put the 3 hadasim? So we don't. Most people do not do like the Arizal. The Arizal says, should have 1 hadas sticking out to the right, 1 hadas to the left, and 1 hadas in the middle. The Chulin Kenega, the Lulav. We don't do like that. We follow the Shalom. Shalom quotes from the Matei Moshe. Matei Moshe was a Talmud of. Matei Moshe is a sefer written by Rav Moshe Mat. Mem Tov. I don't think it's Moshe Meis. I think his name is Moshe Mat. I'm sure. He was a Talmud of the Ramot. So he has Morgan Avram always quotes him. So the Matei Moshe writes our meaning that we put all the 3 hadasim sticking out on the right side, Torah on the left side, and the lulav is in the middle. It's not Niyaki B'Diyele. That for sure is not Niyaki B'Diyele. In Shulchan Aruch they paskin that if you shake the lulav a second time of the day, you do not say a bracha. You only say a bracha once a day. So if a person is not sure if he was yotze the first time or not, so he shakes the lulav again, he should not say a bracha. This is in disagreement with Rashi. The Rishonim quote, the Talmid Rashi quote, that Rashi's opinion was that the Gemara Sukkah has a machlokes Rebbe and a Chachamim. What if you put on tefillin a second time in the same day? Do you say bracha or not? And the Gemara comes to the Maskana, Hilchos so we pass like Rebbe. Tefillin calls man sheminicha mevarach, kolei me sheminicha mevarach aven. Every time you put on tefillin, if there was a hesel chadah, so you say another bracha. There's not a chashash of bracha levatol, but that's by tefillin. So the Talmidim of Rashi quote in the Paradise, they quote that Rashi's opinion is that the same is true regarding the lulav. It's quoted in the Gemara Sukkah, so it's not only Tilman, it applies to Lulav as well. If you shake a Lulav a second time on the same day, you would say Bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch passed from the Farish against the Rashi. Then the Ramah quotes two Minhagim. When you do the Nanoim, so you do different Minhagim. So the normal, the regular Minig is not like the Arizal. Most people do, you're facing Mizrach, so you do Mizrach, then you do, what's next, South. then west, then north, then up, and then down. So inside, when you do a mato, do you turn the lulav and esrog upside down, or do you hold it like this? The Rama says the medaktikim, the shtick, they hold it straight. But we don't do like that. That's not the meaning. You hold the lulav and esrog upside down. There's nothing wrong. Since you're holding kedarach kedilosim, you turn your hand upside down, but that's okay. And the Taz says that we don't do like that. We all do like the medaktikim. I think most people today do not like the Taz, like the Ramah calls the medaktikim is making fun of it. But I think most people today follow the Taz that they do lamato, so they hold the kedarach kedilosim. They don't hold it upside down.
If you don't have all the
Mishnah says that Ma'akim says, and you don't even take the few that you have, because still Menachik b'nei Churva. People may misunderstand, and next year they'll think that you don't need all the Minim and you can say a bracha. So if you don't have all the Dalaminim, you don't take. We are Ma'akim to hold that in two different hands, not right to hold in the same hand. So there were those who held in two different hands, far apart. They held the Lulav over here and the Yesod over here. So the Beis Yeshiv quotes the Rakanti that one night he had a guest on Sukkot. And this guest was benching Esrog like this, and he had a dream that night. The Rakanti had a dream, not the guest. He saw the guest in the dream writing Yud Kei Vav, and K over there, all the way over there. He kept on having a pause, and he didn't know what in the world this was all about. And then he recognized, then he realized, oh, 1, 1, 1, and 1. Like Rabbi Akiva, one Esrog is Mechuvin Keneged, the four things represent the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And you have to hold the two in two different hands, but near each other. They're supposed to be next to each other. If you marchik them from each other, it's like being marchik them. It doesn't mean you're not yet to be the Eved. I can say you're not yet to be the Eved. If the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Ram, you can pick up the Zeh HaZeh. If you say the Zeh HaZeh is good, how can you say that it's not good to be the Eved? But the Lachat Chibah, because of the dream of the Rakanti. The Beis Yosef quotes the dream of the Rakanti.
Rabbi, the Dilma Nafim Yechurbe, the Gemara is only said by Lo Yavi Parsh, by an Esrog.
Right.
So
I thought the Shulchan Aruch extends it here. That if you don't have all the Dalaminim, you shouldn't take.
Yeah.
I think we would do. Yeah, we would do. The only the Mishnah Brewer is not sure what he would say. Bracha. Do we really pass the mikra as in like Rav Tarfin? Lula, one hodos is good. Anaf eight tzavos, it only says one. Or do we say no? It says anaf eight tzavos, 1, 2, 3. So you need 3 leikuva. So the Mishnah Brewer, I think, is noted to say you should shake without a bracha. Others want to say you should shake with a bracha. That we really pass that one heart is sufficient.
So if you find one of your meaning,
one of the hadas, and you should
shake
without a
bracha.
Get someone else's hadas. Steal another hadas. Okay. Oh, that goes on, it's no good. So you buy another hadas.
Because the Gemara said, I thought the Mishnah Brewer brought, because the Gemara says that they were Moorish rule of evasion. And the Rabbanim responded that Ein Shasa Chak Rai. So Mishbura, I think, quotes from some posting that even Chacham or Moldav Shasa Chak, that if there is some soul, you would still make a bracha.
Yavish, yeah. I think there was some Eich explained that Yavish is possible because of Hodah, that there's only one girl in the world, and she's the most beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. I don't want to marry her, she's not pretty. I have no one to compare her to. So if the only Shasat Chak, you only have one lulav, and the lulav is Yavesh, it's gorgeous. It's the most beautiful lulav in the whole wide world. It's the only one I have access to.
Exactly.
Beauty is a relative concept. So you can't passel, it's kosher, the Shasat Chak, if that's the only thing you have, then it is hodah. If you have chaser, chaser is chaser. Chaser is a passel, a psul. No two ways about it. But the psul of hodah is beauty, is relative. It's a relative concept. Some people have to go to work on Chol Hamoed, so they go to the early minyan. The early minyan is a shayla. They're going to bench Esrog before Hanei Tzachama. They're going to say Halal before Hanei Tzachama. So the Mishnah says, well, Hatchila you shouldn't do before Hanei Tzachama. B'di'eved you yoytzei, Shasat Chak b'di'eved doni. So that's a shayla, how much of a Shasat Chak is it? So there was a famous guy in the Aderes, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Ta'omi. Aderes is the Rosh Hashanah. He was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, Chief Rabbi Kook, by the Zivig Rishon. Rav Kook was married to his daughter in Europe. He was the Rav in Panavish and the Rav in Nir, and then they invited him to become the Rav in Yerushalayim. Rav Shmuel Salant was getting old. He needed an assistant rabbi to take over. And then he came to Yerushalayim, and he died after a year and a half, and Rav Shmuel Salant went strong another 20 years. He died at a very old age. I think they say on his Matseva, it says, on the Aderis' Matseva, it says, Shenisman Elios Rav Yerushalayim. He was appointed to take over the Rabbanit, but he didn't live so long. He died before. Anyway, he was the famous Poisek Mefursim in Europe. They quote, everybody quotes his Pesuk. So he had a lot of Kiddushim. So they weren't always masking with his Kiddushim. So he had a Kiddush that was man says, since every shul has a plaque on the wall and every person has a watch on his arm, everybody has. So the lachatchila not to say halal and not to ben chesik before Hanetzach Amo doesn't apply. The whole reason why lachatchila shouldn't do, because he may make a mistake and do it before Alois HaShachar. But that's only if you're judging based on the color of the sky. So if you have lights on, or if it's snowing outside, if you have a reflection in the there was, so you can misjudge. But if everybody has a clock, so what should I have to make a chashash? What should I have to make a zero? And this Dechemed lived in Eretz Yisrael at the same time. So he says, we all discussed it. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank also was around that time. We all discussed it, and he was outvoted. They didn't agree with him. It's interesting. What's the issue? What were they fighting about? The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, there's an issue of Baal Tosfos. If you have more Hadassim and more Arabis than you really need, supposed to have only two Arabis and three Hadassim. What if you have more? So the Rambam says it's a problem of Baal Tosfos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you look, and the Rambam doesn't really say that. The Rambam writes, on Arabis it's a problem of Baal Tosfos. Hadassim, the Rambam says, is a Noyim Mitzvah. It looks fancier. And there were some Rishonim, there were some Hasidim who do like this. There were some Rishonim who used to have, how many Hadassim did they have? Kigematria, Hey Dalit Sama. How much is that? 69. So we have 69 Hadassim. We're Mekel, we only have 3. Some will have... Okay. The more the better. Okay. So the Rambam also says like that, that Hadassim is not sure. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Bir Halacha, if you have a chash, if you're not sure whether the Arabis are kosher or possible, you have a shayla on something, so you shouldn't be machmer for the chashash of Baal Pes. So you add on some more. Let's say some people do that lachatzil. Instead of having two arabis, they'll have three arabis. Instead of having three adas, they'll have five adas. Just in case one or two of them will be possible. So you have a backup. So if you're doing it because you're concerned that sometimes it will dry out, sometimes it will get ripped off or something, then the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to be concerned. The Gemara says that on the first day in each alachem, so the Gemara says there's a problem if you give it to a katan before bar mitzvah, he can be kohen, but he can't be marked and back. So the Gemara says, you give to the cotton last. You give to the cotton last. Sure. It means the women should all be out, so people make a mistake. All the men, after bar mitzvah, shake a lulav, then he gives it to the cotton. Then he gives it to his wife. Then he comes and gives it to his wife. His wife is after bar mitzvah already. She's not mechuyev. She's not mechuyev, but if she wants to be out, you need shalachem. So if the cotton can't be marked, it's not shalachem. So you have to make sure all the adults, male and female, were yotze first. And then you begin to give it to the child before bar mitzvah. So the Shaiva is the Achrayim asks, well, on the second day we pass, and you also need Shalachem. So how were you to the second day if you gave it to the child on the first day? So the Shoel HaMeshiv writes, on the second day you only need Shalachem in the Rabban. So on the second day the cotton is able to be Makdam in the Rabban. The whole problem is, the cotton can only be Makdam in the Rabban and can be Makdam in HaTorah. So on the first day you need Shalachem in the Rabban, that's a Machlek in the Rishayim, is a Kinyan the Rabban unacceptable to be considered Shalachem in HaTorah. That's the machloek of Sarishan. But on the second day, you only need Shalachem and the Rabbanon. So since the cotton... So make believe, yeah. Yontav Sheni is a... The Gemara asked that kasha? The Gemara asked that kasha. It's a very good kasha. The Gemara asked, why do you say a bracha on everything on the second day, on the Seder, if it's only a Safik? It's a Safik, a fake of the Yom. It's a Safik, shall they ram blood by bracha? So the Gemara gives two explanations, and the explanation that we accept, the Rambam accepts Abaye, Machlok Abaye v'Rove. The Rambam, for some reason or another, accepts Abaye's explanation. The Rambam passes like Abaye. He tells you why. The Shuv is a Rambam. He tells you why he passes like Abaye. So that's what's usually assumed, that for the second day, Yontav Yoni Nisha Lachem the Rabbanon. I remember Rabbi Schwab, and he once talking about, I used to visit Rabbi Schwab every year on Sukkot. So I'll go and visit. He used to talk and learning and tell all the stories a lot about the Chaim Meiser and the Chazanish and this one and that one and the other one. He told a lot of good stories, put a lot of good debate there also. So I remember I once mentioned this to him, so he started to chuckle that this is a Harifas, this is like a Galatiana. It's from the Shoel HaMeshiv, he says, that's his style. the Esav Shal Natan as his style to make a Meimonav Shach. On the level of their Isa, you don't need Shalachem on the second. On the level of the Rabban, they cut them to be Makba. He chuckled a little bit, but that's assumed to be the official explanation. Otherwise, you don't understand how do you give it to the child last on a first day? What's going to be with the second? So you have no prayer. But you like the Galatian of Shef on Hanaz. That's what we assume, like the Shalachem. Okay. Everyone should enjoy Yantiv. Again, I'm not going to say Shul tomorrow. I plan to be in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight. And then after Sukkot, we didn't realize we're not coming back till Monday afternoon. So I won't give Shir the first Sunday. Monday I'll start Shir on Tuesday.